For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best. Located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Bucks fans, the dream is alive, the dream is real, and the dream is what we're talking about today on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. It is Sunday night. The fandemonium is all across Tampa. Unbelievable. And this is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Pasco County, America's columnist, Tampa Bay's Hall of Fame voter, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks fan is here. And Sage, what great times we have had these last 3 weeks, the playoffs at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater, the beautiful outdoor area, indoor tap room. Big Storm beer is fantastic, and the crowds, the enthusiasm. The last 3 weeks, Ira, it's unbelievable. You stopped coming, and all of a sudden, it's an overflow crowd.
Well, then I shouldn't show up for the Super Bowl. You know what? I might show up right in the press box at Raymond James Stadium. Like that is, but that's where I might be.
There you go. But Sage, Big Storm, what great hosts they have been. So many fans having a good time, and that's the place to watch Bucks games. Of course, you can watch the Super Bowl there. Big Storm Tap Room in Clearwater, Odessa, Cape Coral, and Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer, available in stores at the tap rooms. Go to bigstormbrewery.com, and you will find the Storm Tracker. Pump in your zip code, and you'll find out where to get all the great Big Storm beers. Sage, one man is happier than I am tonight, and that's General Manager Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. The man is in complete ecstasy, and you know what, Ira? I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to put it out on this podcast, and Sean isn't even going to care. He doesn't even know. If you buy a vehicle or lease a vehicle from Bill Curry Ford tomorrow, Monday, or on Tuesday, Sean's going to give you an extra $500 off, and I'm going to call him and tell him it's going to happen. You just have to mention the Ira Kaufman Podcast. That's the kind of guy Sean is. How about that, Ira?
You know what? I would normally say that's being very presumptuous of you, Mr. Isbitz. But knowing Sean Sullivan, like you know Sean Sullivan, I don't think he'd have a problem in the world. He's on cloud nine. He's not going to sleep tonight. And, of course, there he was bitching in the first quarter about blown coverages. That's our Sean Sullivan. But by the end of the day, I can imagine the smile that he's got on his face right now. And those great deals, they're about to be even better in the next couple of days.
Absolute ecstasy at Bill Curry Ford. Great Bucks fans there. Family owned for the last 60 years. And GM Sean Sullivan, just tell him you heard about that extra $500 off on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. And get yourself a new vehicle Monday or Tuesday, and Sean's going to hook you up. And if he doesn't, well, we'll take it out of Ira's pay. So we'll just do it that way. BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. They treat you right, and they are the place to be. Ira, the Buccaneers are in the Super Bowl. I can't believe I'm actually saying it. The words are coming out of my mouth. It's absolute ecstasy. You know, fans are tuning in here to hear the Sage's thoughts. They want to know what the Sage thinks, so the floor is yours.
Well, the first thing that needs to be said is DeKemper and I have never been more jubilant to get a score wrong. Never. We both picked the Packers, a fact that Buck Nation has never forgotten to remind me, and we were wrong, Lee. And I don't know what's more shocking, the Buck victory, the unbelievable pass rush, the going to the Super Bowl, or that Joel Glazer actually addressed a national television audience, Mr. DeKemper. But I want to say this up front, Lee, before you get your hooks into this game, and I'm very serious about this. I think there's a little bit of a danger, a silly danger in my view, to focus on Matt LaFleur and a couple of calls and the officials, you know, with the interference calls. Let me say this right now, DeKemper. The Bucks were clearly the better football team on Sunday. And anybody who doesn't think so didn't watch the game, Lee. They kicked Green Bay's ass all up and down the trenches. You win the trenches, you're probably going to win the game. How do I know? Lee, it came out on the short end of the turnover stick. They lost the turnover differential on the road to a number one seed, a division champ, and still came out with a victory. And Lee, the reason they did was they kept Brady clean, and Rodgers was running for his life. The Bucs were the better team on Sunday.
I agree with you. And then you factor in arguably two of their better players were not available, Antonio Brown and, of course, Antoine Winfield. Now, I'm just gonna do something right here that will just demonstrate what I think about this win. Now, you guys got to bear with me. Got to be silent here because this is a one trick only. Once I do this, I can't repeat it. So if you can bear with me and give me some silence, and hopefully this will come through. Cracked open a Big Storm beer. That's what I think about this game. That's where I'm at right now. That's how happy I am. My first drop of alcohol literally all day. It's a toast.
The Vegas boys are already weighing in. Chiefs by 3.5. You know what Buck fans should say to that? That's the third straight week. They're mild underdogs. It certainly didn't bother them at the Superdome or in Lambeau. Steve, the Bucs are playing great football. They overcame three Tom Brady picks. Now, I don't think two of them were necessarily Brady's fault. The third one, I can't believe he threw the ball up there. That was a Jameis Winston-esque throw, and I really don't understand it. But they overcame all of it. Why, Steve? Why did they overcome it? Because the pass rush was fantastic. Shaq Barrett made himself about $9 million today. JPP woke out of his slumber. And this offensive line, Steve, that included Aaron Stinney, gave Brady enough time he didn't even get his hair mussed. This offensive line, starting with that Washington game, Chase Young, he's coming after Brady. Washington's got the front four. Ooh, the Saints, they got Trey Hendrickson. They got Cam Jordan. I'm seeing nothing, Steve. I'm seeing no pressure on Brady. I'm seeing a beautiful pocket. And if he's got that against the Chiefs, then I'm telling you right now, Tyrann Mathieu, you're in trouble.
Well, we did see a couple of little flaws by the Bucs offensive line today, but you know what? It's a Super Bowl offensive line. It deserves to be a Super Bowl offensive line. A lot of fans would have laughed at that a year ago, 6 months ago, whatever. Sage, let me take you through the game. First quarter, Bucs come out fast. They get that opening touchdown. Jaden Mickens is even looking like a decent returner. Mike Evans gets the ball. They come out quickly, and they jump on him. They never trailed in this game, which I think is key. I tried to warn you, Sage, last podcast, that the Bucs are more talented than the Packers, and turned out to be the same kind of game. They just had too much for him, and the pass rush got in Rodgers' head. But what do you think of that first half? Obviously, amazing play in there from Leonard Fournette. That run, it was historic. That goes in Bucs history. Breaking tackles, spinning, getting to the end zone. Talk to me about the first half, Ira.
Oh, the Bucs played a magnificent, magnificent first half. And Green Bay, Lee, went to sleep on the Scotty Miller touchdown. There's no way around it, Lee. Now, give Arians credit. Instead of punting with 15 seconds left or whatever, he said, "Well, why am I punting?" He changed his mind. Good call by Arians. Put your faith in Tom Brady. Lee, I thought they'd be very happy to get a 14-yard completion and a long field goal attempt. When Brady looks over the defense, he says, "Wait a minute. I think Scotty Miller can get past that guy. I don't see a deep safety on that side. I'm going to take my shot." That's tough to swallow if you're a Packers fan. We know how the beginning of the second half, but before you know it, it's 28-10. But that play to Scotty Miller, give the Bucs credit, and disgraceful, disgraceful on Green Bay's part.
Without that play, the Bucs lose. It's as simple as that. They won by 5. With Arians being aggressive, and that was the ultimate biscuit play. And with him having a set of biscuits, he got that touchdown. He decided to go for it. That was the game. I got some pushback on Twitter about this. if the Bucks win the Super Bowl, you know, barring some dramatic late game play, I think that play, Brady's throw and Scotty Miller's catch, that may go down not as important, but right next to Rondé Barber's pick six. Now, of course, Derrick Brooks' pick six in the Super Bowl, that's right up there too. But you take that play away, that one play, most coaches would not have done that. You that know that, Ira, and I know that. And most of those coaches are meathead defensive coaches. And Arian said he went for it for one very, very simple reason that I've never heard a defensive coach talk about. Points. You could talk about everything you want to talk about with football. You know, you can talk about tight ends. You can talk about catching the ball. You talk about running the ball. You can talk about blitzing. You can talk about anything. At the end of the day, who has the most points? Doesn't matter how you got there. It's what you have. And that's, you know, what Arian said. That's why he went for it. And it paid off. And they're in the Super Bowl because of it.
Sage, let me reset the play a little bit. Let me reset the play. Now, there were 6 seconds left, but the Bucks got 2 seconds put back on the clock. So we had 8 seconds left. No timeouts, Ira. They could not go over the middle for a 14-yard pass. It would have had to have been a quick out and then take the field goal. And they come off the field, and Brady tells Arians, as the story goes, like Babe Ruth pointing to right field or something. Tom Brady says, I like the matchup. You know, let's go to little Scotty on the outside, fastest guy on the team, and we'll take the shot to the end zone. It'll take 6 seconds off the clock regardless, and Aaron Rodgers will only be left with a Hail Mary. And sure enough, they hit it. Just stunning right there. The only other option was like the 57-yard field goal, which is out of Suckup's range. But Arians has said before on Sirius Radio that their long-range guy is Pinion, who would have come out for that big-time kick. But gosh, like Lee said, it's his absolutely historic play for so many reasons.
A crushing play that would have ended most games right there, and especially you couple it with the fumble early third quarter and the strike to break. And the 28-10, most teams lay on the side of the road, and that's it. Lee, couple of things on the Scotty Miller play. One, very clean pocket for Brady. Very, very clean. No pressure. Shame on Green Bay. No pressure. Number two, gorgeous pass, Lee. Now, look, yeah. Scotty Miller had a step or two on the guy, no question about it. Lee, I thought, until things went sideways in the fourth quarter, I can't remember more than one ball that Brady didn't throw very well through three quarters. I thought he was fantastic. He had zip when he needed zip. He had touch when he needed touch. I mean, it was a classic Brady performance, Lee. Now, the Packers dominated the third quarter after that fumble. I think they had the ball for 12 and a half minutes, Lee, out of 15. But, Lee, one thing to think about, there were so many stalwarts for the Bucks. So many. We haven't mentioned Jordan Whitehead. He popped two balls out. Green Bay was lucky to recover the first one. I think it was on Tanyan. And then he caused the fumble that Devin White picked up. Speaking of Devin White, Lee, another 15 tackles from the young man from LSU. 15 tackles, Mr. DeKemper. He's everywhere.
The way he's playing, every linebacker should go get COVID in the offseason. You know, it's like the spider that bit Spider-Man.
You know, and then, of course, Steve, you got Shaq Barrett. You got JPP. Vita Vea made some plays, tied up a lot of blockers, had some inside pressure. Steve, a complete game victory. Mickens made some nice returns, Steve. We're not used to that for Bucks special teams.
that's an understatement.
And Steve, one more big play in the game. Now, I think it's the only catch he had, Steve. But that Gronkowski screen pass, excellent call by Leftwich. Excellent. If Leftwich gets the credit, I think it was 2nd and 11, and he rumbled for 27 yards. Steve, we don't see a tight end screen around here very often. It was a beautifully designed play and beautifully executed. And Steve, one more. How about Chris Godwin? I don't care that he dropped the ball. He made an unbelievable 50-yard catch, a fantastic 50-yard catch. That's Chris Godwin, Steven.
Oh, there's more. Ira, Sean Murphy bunting with his third pick in three playoff games. Rondé Barber never did that. And you know what? They let them play. The refs let them play. There was a lot of fouls they didn't call, a lot of handsy stuff. And Murphy bunting got away with one, but that's what happens in a game when when the refs are letting them play. And props to Troy Aikman for saying, he grabbed his shirt a little bit, but the hell with it. He made the play, and that's football. Amazing stuff by Murphy bunting there. I'm glad you mentioned Whitehead, Ira. Ryan Succop making all the pressure on 46-yard field goal right down the middle. It just never ends. Full team victory. Tyler Johnson coming up big. It's just absolute ecstasy. They're literally partying in the streets of Tampa, Ira. If you didn't see our Twitter feed, at Joe Bucks Fan, I got a lot of pictures. Bobby Fenton from the Free Stretch podcast was kind enough to send me pictures and video, and just absolute fandemonium, Sage. Crazy, crazy times. Here they are in the Super Bowl after Bruce Arians took over this crappy franchise, couldn't shake the stink out of it last year, fired his quarterback, fired his kicker, and here they are.
One overall point, Lee, I think you'd agree. Look, Green Bay ended up with 26 points, but they got three takeaways. They're the highest scoring team in the league. They got the league MVP, and the Bucs defense was outstanding in the red zone, outstanding, where Rodgers thrives, and made Green Bay settle for some field goals. And I thought overall, you got to give the defense an A in a game that they gave up 26 points.
Oh, yeah, especially when you had Winfield out.
No question about it.
Yeah. You know, by the way, Steve, with the videos, I think it's okay to encourage. If anyone had partying videos from Sunday night, feel free to Twitter us. We'll retweet them. I'd love to see that. The partying videos, post-game partying videos, we love to see that kind of stuff. Vital's going wild. Ira on Twitter, he's just going crazy. He's literally waving his flag, says he wants to kiss Tom Brady, mock Bill Belichick for getting rid of Brady. The guy's in his 80s. He's acting like he's like 30-something. Now he also said, no, he has to get Super Bowl tickets.
Steve, if he wants to hug Tom Brady, Vital's going to have to get in line, because I got a guy that's ahead of him, Steve.
Oh.
Dr. David Wink, outstanding oncologist from Florida Cancer Center. Steve, he hired a private plane. He swindled two tickets to the game somehow when we were told you can't, if you're not a Green Bay season ticket holder, forget it. You can't get a ticket. Wink got tickets and a private plane. He left this morning. He's coming back Sunday night. He's supposed to land, supposed to have landed already. And he told me he doesn't even need a plane to get home. He thinks he can just soar through the through the Wisconsin night. That's a real Buck fan, Stephen.
Dr. Wink, of course. That's a Florida Cancer Specialist and Research Institute. The man will not be denied, and that's how he got to that game, Sage. It's kind of like the way he fights cancer, and it's kind of like the way you attack everything you eat at Big Storm tap rooms. You will not be denied. If the fries aren't right, you're getting more. You're asking your neighbor for fries. You're getting it done, Sage. So happy for all the Bucks fans out there, and happy for us. We're fans too, and this is just crazy, Ira, but I think at the end of the day, the exciting thing for me is here we are in the NFC Championship game, and the Bucs were more talented. They proved that the last game was no fluke. They flat out outplayed the Packers, never trailed. They've now beaten three division champs in a row. This seven-game winning streak they're on, Ira, never before in the history of the franchise, seven in a row, never before. We're in new territory. As I wrote at JoeBucksFan.com today, and I'm curious to see your thoughts, Ira, Team Glazer needs to man up and put Bruce Arians in the Ring of Honor on opening day next year. No excuses. What the man has done is incredible. It should be honored. Why waste time? Why wait till he's dead? Why wait till he retires? Get it done.
Well, you might as well slap a plaque up there for Brady, too, while you're at it over there, Isbitt. But I get your point, Steve. I get your point. Lee, what a great moment for Arians. I think he got the one NFC title game with Arizona. They got clobbered by Carolina. They were never in the game. I think they had seven turnovers. This is a great moment for Arians. He's a two-time coach of the year, but he didn't have a winning record, Lee, in his last 3 years that he coached, two at Arizona and last year with the Bucks. So he's kind of resurrected himself, Lee. You never know. The bad news is maybe Todd Bowles gets that last job that's standing, Lee. Possible. Possible.
I'll trade that for a Super Bowl. I don't care.
I understand. Lee, this Brady thing is unbelievable. He's probably the only guy in the world, maybe him, Jason Light, and Arians, that actually thought this moment could happen so quickly with this football team. Lee, coming off 7-9, turnover-plagued. And here they are, as Steve says, a franchise record winning streak they will take into the Super Bowl. You know, if the Mad Dog has any guts, Lee, any class at all, he'll have me on next week, but instead he's scheduled to do trivia all week long. Trivia. Yeah,
I love Russo to death. I love his show. But that week-long Super Bowl trivia is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Who cares who the hell was running the chain gang in Super Bowl 12? I mean, I don't give a damn. Nobody gives a damn. I mean, I cannot emphasize how much I agree with Steve about the Arians in the Hall or the Ring of Honor. I wouldn't put him in next year. I'd do like everybody else does. You wait a couple of years after he's retired. But Arians, in my eyes, right now, without question, is the number two coach in Bucks history. The only guy ahead of him is Chucky. What Arians did in 2 years is unreal, absolutely unreal. And it makes Dungy look bad, to be honest. Cannot reinforce and emphasize Steve's point any more than what Steve did. He absolutely belongs in that Ring of Honor. Absolutely. He took, and I like to, for people who don't always read Joe Buck's fan, and if you don't, why don't you? I always use this reference. Maybe people are sort of get tired of it. The Bucks, when Arians took them over, were the NFL fire hydrant in the local dog park. They were horrible. He rebuilt this team. In 2 years, they went from stench, from dog urine, to in the Super Bowl. That is a job well done.
And, Steve, what's the best thing that Arians did? It was the driving force to get number 12 to sign with the Bucks. There's no question about that, Steve. It wasn't Joel Glazer. It wasn't Jason Light. It wasn't it wasn't Donovan Smith, Steve. It was Bruce Arians. He said it in February. He said it in March. And he got his man, and they had a meeting of the minds when it was 7-5 and the skeptics came out. What's going on between Arians and Brady, Steve? What's going on with Brady? Can't throw a long ball. What's going on with this offense? They may not make the playoffs. Steve, they haven't lost since the bye week, Mr. Isbits.
Well, the skeptic, I can't listen to the skeptics, Ira, because what the hell? It was all bogus that Brady and Arians weren't getting along. It was never real to begin with. So, I mean, it's just TV fodder. Brady has a couple of games or three games where he's struggling with the deep ball. And all of a sudden his arm's falling off and he can't wipe his ass. Come on, it's just television crap. Don't bring that to this podcast. I hate that.
Rob Ninkovich, he actually proposed to Arians getting fired. Now he's in the Super Bowl. By the way, Steve, we got to give Steve credit where credit's due. And not just for suggesting Arians belongs in the Ring of Honor. And he absolutely does. And there's no doubt about it. Anyone that argue otherwise, they're out to lunch. Steve, were you not, and I was there when Arians said it, but I didn't ask the question. Weren't you the one who asked Arians? Arians just said, hey, if we get a quarterback to come in here and doesn't throw turnovers, we win games. We can win games with Jameis, but we can win games without turnovers. Didn't you ask him, who are you talking about? He responded, Tom Brady.
Well, it goes back to the combine. And Arians had kept saying stuff like that, Ira, and I just asked him in a little combine scrum off to the side with some local media, I said, look, if you could pick up the phone tomorrow, what quarterback would you call? And he says, Tom Brady.
and that started it.
And that's got the ball rolling in a big way. But, you know, Arians has made so many great decisions. And if we're talking about him in the Ring of Honor, just that hypothetical sage, from moving Chris Godwin to the slot to walking into this offensive line, looking around and saying, I like it. Let's keep it. It's good enough for me, which is exactly what he did. And the Bucks, Ira, I know you love these Nuggets. I haven't gone past 11 years, but in the last 11 years, no team has made the Super Bowl, none, without having either a former Pro Bowl defensive back or a current Pro Bowl defensive back on the roster. The Bucks have just done it. The guy was willing to gamble with these kids in the back, and they've bent and they've had issues, but here they are.
Only you would come up with a nugget like that, Steve. Don't you sleep? Don't you sleep at night, Steve? Don't you sleep? Do you spend your idle hours looking up these obscure statistics, which amaze Buck Nation? Lee, I'm about to say something about Brady that I never thought I would say. What he has done this year, what he has done, and it doesn't matter to me what happens in 2 weeks in this regard. He's added another layer to his legacy. I thought the book was over on Brady. What more can you say?
Someone else texted me that. I'm trying to think who it was. Someone texted me and said, I never thought, a buddy of mine in Pittsburgh.
Might have been Belichick. Might have been Belichick texted you.
No, it was a buddy of mine in Pittsburgh. He played college football. He said, I never thought I would say that Brady would add another chapter to his long book, but he's about ready to. And I'll say this. And I wrote a story Sunday night about this. It got people mad. I don't care. I write what I think, and they don't like it. What can I say? Apparently, they like it. Steve and I have been going for 13 years. Let's hope if the Bucks win the Super Bowl, I will refer to Brady as the GOAT, the farm animal. I'll refer to him as GOAT. Because in my mind right now, Joe Montana is still that guy because of who he had to go through to get to those Super Bowls and how he played in those Super Bowls. He was absolutely dominant in Super Bowls. Never threw a pick. Undefeated in Super Bowls. 4-0. And he had to get through Super Bowl winning coaches on Super Bowl teams. He had to get through that. What did Brady have to get through? The Jets. So that's why I always prefer Montana over Brady. But if Brady gets the Bucks to the Super Bowl in 1 year, the NFL fire hydrant in the dog park, that is the greatest quarterback of all. Because when Montana went to the Chiefs, they were still a playoff team. But Brady winning the Super Bowl with the Bucks in his first year with a losing team, let's be blunt here. He changed the chemistry of that entire organization. He himself did.
You know what happened to a lot of fans tonight, Ira? There's no doubt. You know, all this celebrating, all this drinking, people are taking showers late at night, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and they're going into bed. But there's a lot of people, Ira, who are forgetting to shut off that shower or that bath when they go to bed. It happens. I've done it before. I used to give my dog a bath. Once I left the water on, next thing you know, I'm swimming in it. And this is what
that is the greatest segue I've ever heard you say.
But this is what happens when you're in euphoria and you're drinking and you're celebrating. So ultimately, Ira, there's going to be floods all over town. There's going to be mold cropping up in a couple of weeks. And when that happens, you have to call immediately Florida's Elite Restoration. That is the Bay Area's number one disaster company. When you have a disaster, you call them. Your roof caves in, you got a leak, you smell mold, but they are licensed mold remediation specialists. They will give you an absolutely free estimate. They're operating 24/7, and you call them before you call your insurance company so you don't get ripped off, because that's what insurance companies do. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Josh Martin and the guys, they're ecstatic. He was texting me through the game. He sent me some little meme there with some screaming dude. This is just everybody's just on fire. I got a lot of drunk texts from fans. I don't even know who they are, but it's exciting, Ira. And what's more exciting is tackling mold like Devin White. Florida's EliteRestoration.com.
I could think of other ways to lose track of time in a shower than bathing a dog.
We will pick it up from there. Josh and his crew, we met them a month ago at Big Storm. He's got a real crack department there. They're very sharp, honest assessments. Call them before you call your insurance company, and you'll be very glad you did. Now, I'm going to say this. With the passing, the sad passing of Larry King, I am ready to dub Izbits the king of talk radio at this point. I believe you're picking up the banner. I don't believe Larry King ever made a segue to a mold that I can remember on a CNN show. But, Steve, tell me this really happened. Is this really true? The Bucks are in the Super Bowl? Steve, I just can't believe it.
Not only are they in the Super Bowl, they can win the Super Bowl. I like the matchup with the Chiefs, Ira.
Yeah.
Picture me, Ira, sitting, stuffing my face, listening to NFL radio. And Bill Cowher's on the air last week, and they ask him, hey, how do you attack, how would you as a defensive guru stop the Chiefs? And you know what Cowher says, totally unprompted? You ready for this, Ira?
Go ahead.
He says, turn on the film of what Todd Bowles did to the Chiefs from the second quarter on, right after Thanksgiving in the Bucs game. He said the Bucs ran a clinic on how to shut down the Chiefs with the two safeties doubling up on Kelce and Hill and this and that, and the Bucs got it down. That's the model.
It's too bad Bowles didn't use that same defense in the first quarter when the game was decided, Steve.
Yeah.
Mr. Hill had 200 yards before you can blink. I've said it before. Lee, you've heard me say this on Russo. I've been saying it now for weeks. Kelce's the guy, Lee. You got to stop Kelce. Hill can hurt you on, you know, with that speed, but Kelce's the guy that breaks your heart on the third and eights. I mean, nobody can cover this guy. So, you know, look, we'll talk a lot more about the, well, we got 2 weeks to preview this game. But, Steve, we wanted to give Buck Nation a piece of our mind right here, hours after this historic victory, Steve, historic. And, Lee, you like to use the word historic next to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when it's a positive, Lee, when it's a positive.
Very much so.
It's unthinkable, Ira, and, you know, your years of wisdom. We joke about them, but you've been around this team, I mean, it's since the mid-'80s, and you've watched the NFL, you've been all over the country. You know, can you put this thing into any kind of perspective as we just jump out of this podcast? I mean, in all seriousness, Ira, we joke around, but what has just happened here? What have they just pulled off? Aside from Brady, you know, being absolutely historic, this team is in the Super Bowl. I still don't believe it.
Well, Lee, we have to remember that in terms of all-time franchise, you know, career one-loss record, the Bucs are the worst in the National Football League's history. The Bucs, even with the Super Bowl, the 2002 season, they are the worst, Lee. So that's what we've been dealing with. Here comes Brady, all of 43, and he comes in and takes a team that hasn't made the playoffs, you know, in 12 years, Lee, and with all the spotlight on him since March 20th, 10 months of spotlight, he doesn't shrink from it. He doesn't shirk from it. He emerges as a giant. Once again, the story of Tom Brady goes on and on, Lee. The fact that he's coming back in 2021, we think, is a great source of comfort for Buck Nation. Lee, we might be sitting here a year from now listening to the Bucks talk about running it back to Kemper, running it back the Tampa Bay Bucks. This is one of the greatest stories in NFL history.
The last thing I can think of that might be in the same ballpark, maybe not, because they didn't have, you know, this legend of a quarterback coming in. But the Rams, weren't the Rams pretty awful for a long time? And then, you know, they lose Green. I can't remember his first name.
Trent Green.
Yeah, Trent Green, and they bring in Warner, who no one outside of Iowa had heard of before. And all of a sudden, boom, they win a Super Bowl, much to the chagrin of Bucks fans, of course. But still, they were lousy for the longest time. And all of a sudden, boom, they win one. And if I remember correctly, didn't Vegas take such a bath with the season win totals on the Rams that year that they adjusted how they set the odds with season win totals?
I know, but Lee, even you said it. Brady is what sets the story apart. Steve, it's Brady, Brady, Brady. Since March 20th, the number one story in the National Football League is centered on West Central Florida. We're not used to that around here. And now look where we stand. This guy, you know, from going to the wrong house you know, this summer and all the crazy stories. I want Antonio Brown. Oh, okay, we'll give him to you. I want this guy all in. Steve, you couldn't make this story up.
No, you couldn't make it up. And the fun thing is that two things, Ira, and then we'll say goodbye. It was said before the season that Brady's new production company would be following Brady all season and as part of the closeout of a full documentary on him. And look at the season that we may end up with. We may be watching in June, stuff that we never would have imagined seeing from a Super Bowl team. I'm all in on the Super Bowl, Ira. My fear in the back of my head that I don't want to think about is Brady and Arians winning this thing and then just riding off into the sunset, and we're back to square one. But I can live with it. I'll take it, Sage. You get out of here. You get some rest. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. And, of course, Big Storm and Florida's Elite Restoration. And all the Bucks fans who enjoy the Sage and his work, his mighty column, will be out there Monday. He's going to figure out what you need to know. Lee, get out of here.
Steve, hold on, Steve. I want to make one more football point.
Go for it.
Which could be a bouncing off point for us later in the week. From what I saw in that Chiefs game, late in that game, Eric Fisher is the starting left tackle. He was once the number one overall pick in the draft. That could mean, and I would say it's likely, Lee, at this point, that the Bucs, for the second game in a row, will play a backup left tackle. And that is what's going to put a big smile on the face of JPP and Shaq Barrett. That could be a factor in that game.
I'll throw this out real quick as well. I don't think we should dismiss what it meant for Vita Vea to be getting that push consistently on pass plays. I mean, a lot of times, Rodgers had nowhere to go. You either run into JPP or you run into Vea or you run into Shaq.
And he was going up, Lee, against one of the better centers in the league. Green Bay's got a good one.
All right, Sage.
Is it Corey Lindley?
We're out of here, Sage. I'm going to go back and watch that Leonard Fournette run about seven times. And I'm also going to secretly smile that the Bucks did all this and they really didn't need Antonio Brown. And I hope they let him move on next year. Sage, we will see you later in the week on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Thanks again for listening to the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, other platforms, and leave a review if you can. Ira loves to read those things, and they're a lot of fun. We appreciate the support. Tell a friend. Thank you to our many thousands of listeners to each episode. We'll see you later in the week.